The following Burl Report podcast is made possible through underwriting from Biotech 2013 Life Sciences, Capturing Value, Burl & Company's 27th annual report on the life sciences industry, available now at burlmedia.com. I'm Daniel Levine, and this is the Burl Report. The National Institutes of Health, along with a group of top drug companies and nonprofits, announced the launch of the Accelerating Medicines Partnership, an effort to join forces to identify and validate promising biological targets for drugs. The program, backed with $230 million from NIH and its partners over 5 years, hopes to accelerate the development and reduce the cost of bringing needed drugs to market. The initial focus of the partnership will be on Alzheimer's disease, type 2 diabetes, and autoimmune disorders. We spoke to NIH Director Francis Collins about the program, what it took to get competitors to collaborate, and why he hopes the benefits of this approach will extend far beyond the diseases being targeted. Francis, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
The NIH this week announced an ambitious program to tackle some of the most intractable diseases, the Accelerating Medicines Partnership. What was the thinking behind this effort, and how did it come about?
Oh, the start for this, really, I date back to May of 2011, when I was invited to come to a meeting of the heads of R&D for all of the big pharma companies who get together once a year in a closed setting to share what their dreams and frustrations are. Everybody agreed that we were at a remarkable moment scientifically with a lot of new insights about the molecular basis of common disease emerging from genomics and other strategies. But everybody also agreed that it was really tough to sift through this deluge of information and figure out what would be most actionable. On top of that, lots of companies were really getting quite concerned about their pipelines being somewhat dry, their patents expiring, and the failure rates for phase two and phase three trials continuing to be unacceptably high, where efficacy just didn't happen when you hoped that it would, suggesting that maybe there ought to be a better way to identify the right drug targets that would turn out to be successful. So we started talking that Saturday afternoon about whether there would be a way to bring together NIH-funded researchers who are very interested in seeing this kind of translation happen with drug companies who are in a very good position to actually carry something all the way through the pipeline to registration. It went through many ups and downs, as you can imagine, over that almost three-year period. And a couple of times I thought, well, this just isn't going to work. The cultures are too different. The expectations are too far apart. But thanks to really wonderful partners in the industry, particularly Michael Dulston of Pfizer, who stuck with it and believed in this all the way along, we ultimately came up with a model that everybody's pretty excited about and willing to put skin in the game to make it happen.
Well, what diseases will the partnership be focusing on, and why were those diseases chosen?
I have to admit that initially I wanted to do everything. The guy who came out of the Genome Project thinking that, you know, if you could be comprehensive, well, that ought to be the goal. Companies, I think, understandably, thought that sounded like boiling the ocean, and maybe we'd better have some specific disease targets to start with and see whether this was actually worth doing. So there was an extensive polling of the drug companies. Actually, this was done by our colleagues in BCG, asking, okay, what are you most interested in? And when the dust all settled, it looked as if there were four conditions that had a sufficient critical mass that they would be good starting points. And those were Alzheimer's disease, type 2 diabetes, autoimmune diseases, specifically rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, and schizophrenia. That then led to the formation of project design groups that were half and half between industry and academia, who sort of hammered out what the plan should be, what the timetables, what the milestones, what the cost, and then put those plans forward. And then companies had a chance again to say, are you really in or not? They were all in, except schizophrenia didn't quite have the critical mass. I guess companies had less confidence, you know, that this was going to fit within their business plan. So we fell short on that one, which I'm sorry about because I think there's a huge need there. But the other three areas were, in fact, endorsed, and that's why they are the ones now highlighted in the launch of AMP. I will tell you that my hope would be that as this gets underway and we build some confidence in the model and people get excited about what it can do, that other diseases could be added as we go forward.
You mentioned the high cost of drug development and the problem we're still having with late-stage failures. If you think about the diseases you're targeting, like diabetes, Alzheimer's, there have been many high-profile late-stage blow-ups. Why have these diseases been so hard to crack? Is this a matter of not really understanding the biology underlying them?
I think that's a big part of it. These are complex diseases. Take Alzheimer's, where we know there's something going on with deposition of amyloid and deposition of tau, and increasingly some suggestions that there's something happening perhaps with innate immunity and with lipid metabolism. But it's all pretty murky. And the problem, I think, has been that people faced with that have had to make bets on drug targets with such a limited set of information that ultimately the bets have not paid off. And that's obviously an enormously expensive and frustrating outcome. The goal here would be to try to take full advantage of all of the new data that's coming out of molecular analysis of these diseases and pick targets that are more likely to succeed. As Dolsten said when we had our launch, if you're going to try to drive fast, because that's what every company wants to do to get to an effective therapeutic, you want to be sure you're on the right road. And oftentimes it's been really hard to pick a road that works.
Walk me through the mechanics of this a little. How is this partnership going to work? What is NIH's role? What are the responsibilities of the various participating companies?
So NIH and the companies are contributing just about equally in terms of financials, $230 million now being committed to this over a five-year period, half of that from NIH, half from industry, and divided amongst these three disease areas. There are already very clearly laid out white papers that describe what the goals scientifically of each of these three projects should look like. NIH will be funding some of this through our traditional request for applications, where we put money out there and see who's got the technology to be able to deliver on it. In some instances, the timing's pretty good because we already have just funded projects, for instance, in Alzheimer's disease, that fit very nicely into this and can get going right away. The companies contribute their finances to the foundation for NIH, which will serve as the project manager for all three of these components, and which makes it possible then for the funds from industry also to be put out for competition, either as contracts or in some other mode, in order to buy what's needed for the components of each project. Each project is different. The Alzheimer's project has a heavy focus on trying to identify and apply every possible biomarker to clinical trials in order to identify those that are going to be predictive of response. The diabetes effort is mostly, at the moment, trying to develop a knowledge portal to pull together all of the complex omics data in order to shine light on which targets are going to be most actionable. The rheumatoid arthritis lupus project is looking at single cell biology of immune cells in tissues such as synovium from patients who are affected. Very ambitious, very high tech, very brand new, with costs being shared by both industry and NIH. So the project managers will oversee this. There'll be an executive committee, which I will co-chair, overseeing the project as a whole. There'll be steering committees for each of the disease areas. We will hold ourselves accountable. Companies understand there are two-year milestones. If we are falling behind on those, companies have the opportunity to say, okay, we're done. This is not a five-year commitment without an expectation of progress.
$230 million over 5 years. If you think about drug industry numbers on what it takes to bring a drug to market, it's a modest amount. But put that amount in perspective. Will this allow you to do anything terribly significant? Is this, you know, early stage research, so it's going to go a long way?
I think, yeah, one has to figure which part of the pipeline is this focused on. It's the early stage where you're trying to identify the right target to go after. Another dramatic aspect of AMP is that we are doing this in an open access format. Companies agreeing that the effort to identify the right drug targets can be considered pre-competitive, and so the information will be available to everybody. That's a small part of the investment that goes into drug development, as you know, with much of that expense coming in the later stages, particularly when you get to large-scale clinical trials. So $230 million on the scale of everything that's being spent in drug development sounds small, but for this part of the pipeline, we think it's a pretty substantial investment. And the model, in terms of bringing together the cultures of the public and private sector, hasn't really been tried in this way, and we would think that's going to be catalytic so that it's not just about the money, it's about the science that we can do.
On a best case scenario, what do you expect this effort will yield, and what do you think these companies will be able to do together that they haven't been able to do by themselves?
I think all of the companies would say they're having trouble sifting through very extensive information and identifying exactly which bets they want to place for Alzheimer's or diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis as far as mounting a campaign to develop a small molecule or a monoclonal antibody. So they expect that by working together, not just with NIH, but with their other company, normally competitors and now collaborators, we can together find those answers quickly and effectively, which no company and no NIH by itself could probably do. So everybody's going to gain by building a team that has this kind of expertise around the table and working closely together. In terms of the long term, my hope would be that this 5 years worth of work would get us at least twice as far along than we would have been without this project, that we will know 5 years from now what otherwise might have taken 10. Exactly what that looks like, well, you know, this is a kind of science that's pretty unpredictable. I would probably be crazy to try to say specifically what we will learn for each of these disease areas, but we're going to learn stuff.
Well, obviously this effort is about developing a new understanding of the biology of diseases and finding new targets, but we're in this period of reinvention of the drug industry R&D process right now. Do you expect to learn anything about the way we go about conducting research and developing drugs and the way companies can work together?
I do. I think this will be a model that will have a lot of implications for that. Are there other parts of the drug development pipeline that could be done more collaboratively? I think what we learn in terms of identifying targets here are also going to help us when it comes to the clinical trials of identifying the subset of patients that are most likely to respond to a new therapeutic, because this is going to be precision medicine driven. So it should enable downstream those trials to be conducted with smaller numbers of patients and a higher likelihood of success. It's not just about target identification. It's also going to be about clinical trial design. What else we'll learn? Sort of hard to guess because we haven't really tried this level of synergy before. I would hope that other ideas pop out of people's discussions as they realize that we don't have to work in a certain situation where there are walls between public and private or walls between individual companies. As long as we're clear about what those boundaries are, and companies are going to need to continue to have their competitive opportunities once a target's been identified and they want to race each other to get a drug into registration. Still, there are parts of the effort that clearly have been more siloed than they need to be for both business success and public health benefit.
Francis Collin, Director of the National Institutes of Health. Francis, thanks so much for your time.
Nice to be with you.
And a reminder to our listeners that Biotech 2013 Life Sciences, Capturing Value, Berlin Company's 27th annual report on the life sciences industry, is now available. You can download a free chapter or purchase the book at berlmedia.com. Thanks for listening. For information on Berlin Company events and publications, go to berlinco.com. And be sure to join us at theberlreport.com for the latest news and analysis on the life sciences industry. Sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Berl Weekly Brief, by hitting the sign-in link at top of our website. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Pearl Report and at DS Levine. And thanks to Jonah Levine for providing the Pearl Report theme music.